Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Tintita, good afternoon to you.
Yes, now it's clearer than the previous one.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff there. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Adventist World Radio. And of course, for taking time to be speaking to us this afternoon. And of course, I do hope that we're going to be doing the same tomorrow and also on Friday. I hope your day has been good, Pastor.
My day has been fine. All is well. Thank you so much. How about yours?
No, mine has been also good. I'm excited to be speaking to you this afternoon. I do hope that we are going to be learning a lot together with the listeners. Hopefully, by the time we end these particular conversations on Friday, but all of us will be a different people. So we're going to be talking about death and resurrection. And most people have wondered at some point in their life about death, the afterlife, and of course, where will they end up? As humans, we know that one day we will die. No one in this earth lives forever, of course. But what does Scripture tell us about death and what comes after that? And so these are the questions that we hope to have covered by the end of the conversation today. So when did death become a reality for humanity and creation? I mean, God cannot be associated with creating things that are going to be dying. God created the world to be perfect, as we understand. How does death then come into picture?
Okay, maybe we may have a word of prayer. Then we dive into the questions.
Lovely.
And the discussions. Yes, our dear Heavenly Father, may your name be glorified as we are going to discuss this topic. Heavenly Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. Bless the listeners from different places. Be with them. We pray all this trusting and believing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for the prayer, Pastor.
All right. Thank you. Now, to start with, one may ask, like, when did death become a reality, or when did death come to existence?
Mm.
We will go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 17.
Mm.
If we read in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So we see now that the time when death will come in is given. God says, the day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die.
Mm.
Now, we need to understand that when you talk of death, there is the physical death and there is the spiritual death. In other words, there is the death by separation from God. When we separate ourselves, or when we do our own will instead of doing the will of God, when we choose to disobey, we die.
Mm.
So in other words, death came in by the time Adam and Eve decided to disobey God. Then death crept in. That's when death came in, or that's when death started, when they decided, or when they chose to disobey God. So when they disobeyed God, death came in.
So
that was the separation from God.
And so this is this the first time that we hear or learn about death?
That's when death comes in for the first time, yes.
Mfundisi, can we then safely say it is God who introduced death?
Okay. No, disobedience introduced the death. Now, okay.
Disobedience in itself has no death, because God could have chosen to deal with disobedience in another fashion. So effectively, God introduced death, not so?
All right. Let's look at it this way.
Right.
When we read in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death."
Mm.
So in other words, death is the outcome of disobedience.
Okay.
Death comes in as an outcome. Death comes in as a result of disobedience. So now, disobedience results in sin.
Yes.
Then sin results in death.
Yes. So, yeah. So effectively, then we agree that there was no death, And then came disobedience as a result of sin, and then God introduces death.
We see death coming in, yes.
Yeah. So we can blame God for that because he introduces it.
No, we cannot blame God.
Okay.
It's okay, the end result of sin.
Okay.
That is the end result.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in other words, okay, let me just give you an example.
Right.
If one drinks a poison, a deadly poison, the end result is death.
Okay. All right. Let me take that point. I think you make a good point there, but I don't want us to belabor this particular point. Let's not belabor this particular point. So this particular death issue then, was it some kind of a punishment for sin, or can we view it as a more of a natural consequence to sin, perhaps?
Okay. We according to the verses that we have read, death does not come in as a punishment.
Mm. Sounds death like a punishment, though.
In. Yeah, it sounds so.
Because you do this, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, but then let's also bear in mind that if it's a punishment, thereafter you have to suffer the punishment. But we see that there's a plan of redemption.
Mm.
So it loosens the idea of it being a punishment,
okay,
but more of a natural consequence that comes after sin.
I see.
So that comes as a result. So it's a natural result that comes after sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, if you want to punish, you don't care whatever happens because it's a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you are punishing has to go through the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand or we see that God designs a plan of salvation. Because sin has crept in, death has crept in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because death has crept in, God says, okay, let's make a way to save humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Those who will obey, they will have life eternally.
Mm-hmm.
So now we see that, okay, it has come as a result of disobedience, not because God is saying, okay, I'll punish you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So effectively, you eliminate those who are sinning so that those who have not sinned, we make a plan to not eliminate them.
Come again?
Simply put. I'm saying it's a process of eliminating those who are sinful then so that those who have not sinned are given a chance of not being eliminated.
Okay, maybe to clarify your question and response.
Okay.
God, what he did was man has fell into sin.
Right.
And man has attracted death on their own.
Right.
Then God devises a plan of redemption.
Okay.
That whosoever. So in other words, whether you are a sinner, we're all sinners, and we have sinned. But then the plan that was devised, it comes in a sense that if we accept him as our personal savior, then we are saved from this eternal death.
Right.
So now, in other words, it's not that God is saying, okay, only those who are not going to sin or those who are, because we are born sinners, we are all sinners. But only those who accept him as his as their personal savior, that's the ones that he says, okay, you are no longer going to suffer the consequences of eternal death.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christ died on the cross to save or to pay that debt. Because sin required death, and it required eternal death. But then Jesus decided to say, okay, out of love, I will pay that debt. But now, it's a free gift. If one chooses to say, no, I don't want to accept this gift, they'll face the eternal death.
Mm-hmm.
But then if another says, no, I don't want to face this eternal death, I accept the gift, then we are spared from eternal death. That's where now the righteousness of Christ is put in us.
You're introducing a very a fresh topic now, of rather not topic, a fresh idea. You're talking about eternal death. I hope that we perhaps can deal with it. Maybe not today, maybe in the next coming 2 days, because you're introducing eternal death. And in my mind now registers a thought of temporary death, because you're talking about permanent death, which means that perhaps it could be different kinds of death. I don't know, but we will you know, explore that as time goes, perhaps tomorrow. Now, let's help us to understand this process of death, and maybe try and for us to try and understand the nature of the beast that we are dealing with here. So what actually happens, you know, when a person dies?
Okay. Now, to understand what actually happens when a person dies, let's go back to the formula, or to understand what is a living being.
Right.
What is a living soul? So now when we understand what is a living soul, then we will see if someone dies, what would have happened.
Okay.
So if we go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life."
Okay.
And man became a living soul. Now, we see two important components that at the end of the day, they produce a living soul. This is the dust of the ground.
Yes.
And the breath of life from God.
Right.
When these two are combined, they produce a living soul.
Okay.
So we see life. And then now, let's look at then what happens to death. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. It will show us clearly, and we will understand then that what really happens, because it's important to know when the process is reversed, what happens.
Right.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So in death, the process is reversed. The body goes back to the dust. That's why we bury. It's normal that we bury. We don't hang people elsewhere or whatsoever. Normally, we just put on the ground. So we reverse the process, where God, when we was creating, he created from the dust. And then the breath of life, it goes back to God, the giver.
Okay.
So it rules away the part of the spirit going to become a cow, the spirit going to be to heaven or hell, going to purgatory. It drives all that away. It just goes back to the giver.
I see.
Yes.
And that is death.
That is death.
I'm a bit confused, Mfundis.
Yes.
I'm a bit confused, because when you talked about the process of creating the breath and the person, or this became a living soul, you spoke about the soul.
Yes.
And when you are reversing the process, you're not talking about the soul anymore. I see you talking about the spirit. And this is where I'm confused. Soul, spirit, is this the same thing? Are you using these interchangeably? How are we to understand this concept of the whole and the soul? And the, because I think it can cause a little bit of a problem with the understanding what happens. If you could please clarify us.
All right. No, thank you. Thank you. Sorry about that. I think it's just the terminology that I'm using. So now, let's reverse back shortly, briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we said when we are talking about how a living being came to be,
right,
or what is a living being,
mm-hmm,
it's dust from the ground.
Yes.
Plus the breath of life becomes a living being.
Living being. Okay.
Yes. So it's someone who's alive. So it's a living being, but a dead person or a corpse, it's minus the breath of life. So that is a dead body, not a living being.
Can we say dead being?
Since this one
is a living being, surely there's an opposite to that, which is a dead being.
True that. Yes, it's a dead being.
Mm. Okay.
So it's the opposite of a living being. Yes.
Wow. All right. Of course, you've now dealt with why we do die. You say we die as a consequence of sin. Is that correct? Because I think this is what you said in the beginning.
Yeah, but yes. We may also add on that also on the reason why we still die.
Yeah, because I'd like to understand that, because if Christ is said to have come so that there's no more death, yet people die. I mean, a person, as we spoke in the and as we're speaking in the last 20 minutes, somebody has been hit by a car and they've been a believer all their lives and they've not done nothing wrong and still they die.
True that. So now, if we go to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Yes.
In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now we see our state in which we are at the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
The state which we are in at the present moment, we still have a corruptible body.
Okay.
So our bodies are corruptible. Now, since because our bodies are still corruptible, death, we still die, or we still exposed to this death that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are mortal beings. So this hasn't changed. As long as this hasn't changed,
yes,
we are still dying and will continue dying.
Mm-hmm.
But this will change when Jesus comes for the second time. That's why the First Corinthians says, in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed and the corruptible shall put on incorruptible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we are not yet there. So since we are not yet there, since we still have this mortal body, this mortal body dies, and this corruptible body, it dies. So since we are still in this state, death still takes place. Death still occurs. Yes.
All right. Pastor Mfundisi Wam Ndiyabulela, man, thank you so much for, joining us this afternoon. But truly a pleasure to have spoken to you. We're not done. I really would have loved us. It's just that, the enemy is the time, Uchaba, Liklesha, because I wanted to speak to you about the life after death. We've heard that concept a number of times. Is there life after death? Can we agree, Mfundisi, that Ngomso Klasi Dibana will start on that point?
Yes, we'll start on, is there life after death? It's fine.
Is that okay with you?
It's okay. It's fine.
Thank you so much, my pastor. A pleasure to speak to you, and blessings to you. We're going to be connecting tomorrow, same time, same place. Is that fine?
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Yes. Thank you. Right. There you have it, Pastor Hilary Tindita, speaking to us about death and resurrection at exactly 4:30. Tomorrow she is coming back and talking to us about, continuing to talk about death. And if you have any questions about the subject of death and resurrection, please do speak to us at that time.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.